Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes. Middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score. Three-time world champion Chicago Bulls.
So you know what you do with this game?
Throw in the garbage.
Oh, I missed.
You're not Nicholas Batum or Eric Gordon.
Not today.
That was Will Perdue's primary thought after the Bulls lost to a Clipper team that just shot the heck out of it, in large part because the closeouts were a little late and sometimes hurried and didn't adapt to the next passes thereafter. But he's here to talk about the Bulls' current situation and tonight's matchup with the Lakers. He's on Twitter at Will_Perdue32, the Bulls' TV pregame and postgame analyst on NBC Sports Chicago. Joins us on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports. But what's up, Will?
Dan, Layla, Lawrence. I mean, this is like Full House. I'm going back to the 80s, man.
Everywhere you look.
I was going to pick on Layla and say, hey, it's Punky Brewster, but then I was like, I can't do that.
I have matching shoes on, Will. My hair is not in pigtails. You were on to something when you went through all the algorithms with me on Sports Sunday on NBC5 when you said, I look at the team through three-game pods. And you were like, so traditionally they've been 2-1 in each of these pods. And I was like, that's interesting. I'll keep an eye out for that after this win over the Lakers and see what happens with the Clippers. And true to form, Will, they went 2-1 in your pod. Can you share this with the rest of us for the rest of the season?
Well, I just was thinking, all right, you know, I'm looking at the standings, right? And I'm like, listen, they're not getting to 7, so let's forget about that. 7's going to keep flip-flopping between Miami and Brooklyn. But then I started looking at the numbers, and I looked at who we play from this point forward, and I'm like, Atlanta, Toronto, who they don't play, and then, you know, the Bulls. And I'm sitting here saying, okay, I think Atlanta's probably going to go 5-5. They've basically been playing 500 ball since February. And if you look at Atlanta's numbers today in their last 10 games, guess what they are? They're 5-5. So I'm like, hypothetically, if Atlanta goes to 41-41 and they're 500 at the end of the season, the Bulls need to go 8-4. And that's when there were 12 games left. So how do you go 8-4? You go 8-4 by going 2-1 in these four groups of three-game pods. So far, they're still on track to do that. And I think even if 8-4 doesn't get them to 8, I hope it gets them to 9, because I would really love them to be able to play at home against Toronto instead of having to play on the road in Toronto in a 9-10 matchup. I mean, if they do it in a 9-10 matchup.
Would you ever tell LeBron that he was too small?
No. I mean, listen, I'm interested to see how this turns out tonight because, you know, we made a comment before the game in L.A. on Sunday, or Sunday, yes, that regardless of what LeBron says, he knows who he's compared to. He makes it a point to say that he feels like he's the best of all time. And he does have an argument, but we won't have that argument today. I still feel like Michael's the best of all time, but LeBron has one thing that Michael doesn't have: most points scored all time. So he always plays with an extra chip on his shoulder, in my opinion, against the Bulls. Now, the one thing that Kendall pointed out in the post game that I went back and looked at, and as he talked about, he went back and watched the game. Right now, LeBron's back, and he's good north-south, but he's struggling east-west. Now, if he was healthy, I would literally look for a wager that said LeBron's going to score 40 or more if I was a gambler and put money on him going over. A, because you're in Chicago and the home of Michael Jordan and there's a statue out in the lobby and Pat Bev's little antics. But I'm just not sure he's 100%. Plus, last night he was in Houston watching his son play in the McDonald's All-American game. So when did he fly in? Did he fly in last night? Is he flying in at the present moment? Not that that's necessarily going to affect him mentally, but that might have a little bit of an effect on him physically on how he plays tonight. Because now that the Bulls lost the game on Monday against the Clippers, I feel like this is a must-win game, specifically being at home, and not just to go 2-1 in the pod, but just to try to get yourself to 500 and be 41-41 at the end of the season.
LeBron James tonight, per my FanDuel app, will over 25.5 points is -104. I don't know how that plays in your mind, but that's the number you have right now. Let me ask you this: who got to DeMar? Who told him, hey, you know what? Shoot a couple more threes, look to distribute, and start, you know, really working a little harder on defense, because he's done all three recently.
Well, this is what I think, Dan. I don't know if anybody got to DeMar, but I think the one thing you're noticing since Pat Beverly got here, and again, not that this has been intentional to take the ball out of DeMar's hands, but this is just what we continually talk about in our show, the Pat Bev effect, whether you want to say it's real or not, it's real. But if you'll notice, the ball's in Pat Bev's hands a lot, in the sense that not necessarily running the offense, but pushing the ball up the floor. And the one thing I've noticed is Pat Bev won't give the ball to DeMar or whoever's taking the ball out of bounds. You'll see Pat Bev standing there clapping his hands. You know, give me the ball, because he wants to go and run with it. He knows that if you throw the ball to DeMar in the backcourt, he's going to walk it up. He's going to go isolation, and there's an 84.7% chance he's probably going to take the shot. Just made that number up, but there's a good chance. I think because of Pat Beverly, because of Zach LaVine, because of Io, Kobe, you know, and circling around the Pat Bev, and Billy talking about, we got to play downhill, got to play downhill, got to play downhill. It's starting to set in, but I think a lot of that has to do with Pat Bev talking to these guys about how they have to play in order to win. And I'm not sitting here saying they're like, okay, meeting behind closed doors, we can't let DeMar dribble the ball up, but it affects our offense. So I think that DeMar's realized that, hey, I'm going to get less touches, so I'm going to have to take fewer shots, so my shots need to be more impactful. And I think that's part of the reason. It's just my opinion, but that's part of the reason why he's taking more threes.
I'm still trying to figure out if we have a word on Alex Caruso's availability yet for the game tonight, but how that affects what's going on with what we're seeing out of, like, not just guys getting the opportunities in the starting lineup, but also what you're saying about DeMar DeRozan's facilitating, like how that's being maybe shaped differently because of personnel, or if that's something where we're seeing just Pat Beverly completely influence on his own.
I think Billy has pushed that as well, but another thing, and I'll give Kendall credit where credit's due, along with Jason. The Lakers, if you'll notice, along with the Clippers, started to press the Bulls a little bit as far as pressure up.
Yeah, killed their second unit. It killed the second unit. Really turtled. I thought the Clippers' pressure was physical too. Like they got out and used their bodies, and there was a lot of contact. And I just think the second unit really seemed to struggle with that.
They did, and I think that that's why you'll see other teams continue to do the same. Why do you think that the Bulls continue to struggle against teams like the Orlando Magic? And this is why that, you know, Toronto scares me, because they're not good matchups, but the physicality of which those teams play with. And if there is – listen, this team is playing better. What are they, 7-3 in their last 10, right? So there has been some changes made. But at the end of the day, the areas that need to be addressed in the offseason are three-point shooting, which they've been on a heater as of late, but just the physicality and the mental toughness of which this team plays with. You know, it's got to be more consistent. And I understand Billy talks about, you know, these are great guys, which I believe. They get along, which I believe. But you can't just have one Pat Beverly. That's a temporary fix as far as an instigator and a player that holds guys accountable.
Can I add one thing? I've got to add some to that wish list here, because I hear it from Billy and I heard it after the last game. And that's rim protection. We 2 years now, we've been wanting rim protection. And when he came out of the Clipper game and Donovan said, part of the problem with their three-point defense is because of the need to pack in and defend the paint, because they don't have that guy to clean up mistakes standing behind everybody. Now, I'm adding a little bit. I'm fleshing out what he said. But he said then, because you're so concerned about penetration and you're so concerned about guarding the rim as a team, that then you're racing out to find shooters, and then you're having to adjust if they skip the ball, if they reverse the ball, that you get behind, and that starts everything snowballing. And it sounded to me like he's crying out to tell his bosses, get me a guy back there, somebody to at least backstop our defense if we don't have Lonzo Ball helping out trying to blow up some of these ball screens.
No, you're right. I mean, listen, Vooch, I think, is a very valuable piece of this team. And because of the fact they didn't trade him, I fully believe that they're going to make every effort to try to sign him. And I don't have a problem with that. But that's not one of his strengths, as you just pointed out. And I'm glad you brought that up as well, Dan. The one thing I've also noticed with Billy is, you know, if you listen to his press conferences, he's become more descriptive in the sense of what he thinks his team is lacking, what they need. And a perfect example is that, you know, last week, go back to what Billy said after they beat Philly, and then after then they lost to Philly. Because what did he say? He pulled something out that really surprised him when he said, you know, that kind of reminded me of Game 3 against Milwaukee in the playoffs last year. We get one of two. So now you're in position to maybe, you know, do some damage. And then how we played once we got back home. And he talked about, I mean, he was very vocal about that and how disappointed he was. And the fact that that second Philly game reminded him of that. So that right there, as you just talked about, Dan, was to me very specific on what he thinks is one of the many things that need to be addressed. And that's what I mean from the physicality, the mental toughness, things of that nature.
Will, I think that Coby White's a better player now. The statistics don't necessarily bear that out. So I'm going with some objective instead of, I mean, subjective instead of objective when I'm looking at him. I want to know from you, do you think he's a better player? And if you do, what are the telltale signs of that from your point of view?
Well, Lawrence, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. He is a much better player, not just better. And the interesting thing is, as you just said, you know, from the analytics standpoint, people be like, oh, come on, man, the analytics don't say so. Well, then I'm like, then you obviously haven't been watching the game, because the eye test screams that he's gotten better. And I think in many, many ways. Is he still inconsistent with his shooting? Yes. But his ball handling is so much better. All right. His decision making is so much better. I feel like the physicality of which he plays the game has gotten better because he'll attack a big man without question. He's stepping in and taking charges. I think that, you know, listen, it's a contract year. I get it. Players always play better in a contract year because they're thinking about it constantly. But he went from the guy that we thought was going to be left out to the guy that they have to have in that lineup. And as Dan said, in that second unit, even though, you know, the second unit as a whole struggled, to me, he's the guy that makes that second unit go.
I think that's a fair statement. And I would also like to take the time to see, did you notice what Andre Drummond said yesterday
on social about media? About removing himself from social media because of the mental aspects?
Yes. I just want to take this time, I think, to just bring it up with you and support Andre. I think that that was...
Is he okay?
He said he just needed to take some time, and I know, Will, you saw it too. It's something that we touched on.
I just actually saw it today.
Right.
In regards to he was removing himself from social media for the rest of the season. So, to me, that says that there's obviously been some people that have been, you know, tweeting at him, you know, regarding... You know, regardless of what he does, they tell him how much he sucks and stinks and everything like that. It's just, you know, unfortunately, I think that's where our society has changed a lot in the sense that now people can hide, you know, behind tweets and emails and things of that nature. And, you know, the passive aggressive nature of a lot of people in this country have really increased.
And I just appreciate him being able to say, I'm going to get myself in a better place about it. Like, I want to focus on my mental health. And I think he's done a great job as well off the bench. And I don't know, it hit me some type of way when I read that.
Yeah, I mean, I saw that today and I was like, wow, wonder what's going on behind the scenes in the sense that, you know, what's as far as what people are doing. Because the problem is with social media, there's no limitations. You can pretty much say or do whatever you want, especially when, you know, you're going at somebody. So, you know, it to me, it's more than just, hey, I'm going to remove myself from social media. To me, it says, you know, a message loud and clear that's, I don't know if somebody's personally attacking him or going at him, but he felt it was necessary to totally remove himself to try to eliminate, you know, from, you know, what he deals with on a daily basis.
Is there anything that the Bulls can duplicate against the Lakers tonight that you're hoping that they duplicate?
You know, A, what they've done as of late, you know, when you look at the big sample size, is they got to play faster. You know, and the one person we're not talking about at the moment is Zach LaVine, I think, is playing so much better. I think he's also making better decisions. You know, you look, his assist numbers, I don't want to say they're way up, but they're significantly up compared to his turnovers. And I think a key part of that is their ability to play fast because of the players that they have that can and are capable. And I think that's just something that Billy has to constantly work on. Remember, when Billy first came in, one of the things that he kept chirping about was, I'm talking to these guys about next possession, next possession, next possession. And we used to have sound of, you could hear the mics picking him up, yelling from the bench, go, next possession, next possession. You know, and you're like, wow, it took 3 years for it to finally set in. So I just feel like that, you know, it's constantly him hammering this message home, them finally figuring it out. And one of the things that Kendall always likes to say is stick to the game plan. And I think that they realize as individuals, you know, how much heat this team's going to take in criticism when the season's over because of the fact that, you know, it's unfortunate they're in the 10th position. It's unfortunate that they're playing as well as they are now compared to earlier in the season, because we all knew they had it in them. We were just wondering, what's going on behind the scenes? Why is this not happening? And I'm just glad that they've figured it out to a certain extent. They still have limitations, but there's no way this team should be, you know, just barely into the play-in game. And I think we all know that. The question is now what's going to happen in the off season to correct it and make it better?
No, I know what I'd like to replicate, and that would be make a boatload of threes, because life is easier when you do that, because as Stacey says, it's a simple game. Will Perdue, thank you, as always.
What do you guys call yourself when there's all three of you in there?
Bernstein, Holmes, and Rahimi.
Yeah, but I know during the commercials you guys call yourself something else. You just don't want to let us in the general public know.
Yeah, we call each other Lawrence, Dan, and Layla.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. That's all we do, man.
But we all know that you're trying to come up with something catchy.
I tried the law firm. No one seemed to enjoy that. So, you know. Bernstein, Holmes, and Rahimi makes a lot of sense to us, Will. So.
Yeah, but the problem is you got a guy sitting there that goes, the law firm? Yeah, we'll call ourselves Bernstein, Bernstein, and Bernstein.
That is very true. Will, have a good broadcast tonight,
strays
sir.
From above. Thank you, Will.
All right, guys, have a good day.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.